Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope you, your family, your friends are all staying healthy. I hope that you have had a short week this week, as here, at least in the United States, a lot of people had Monday off for Martin Luther King Day. Hopefully, you have now gotten to work a little bit of a shorter week. Maybe you're going to school on a little bit of a shorter week. We are happy to have you here with us today. And you know, we have a couple of birthdays that took place on this day that you probably want to keep in mind. Because born on January 19th, back in 1944, was an American football running back and coach in the National Football League that actually had quite a bit of success. Unfortunately, he is probably more remembered for not being able to win the big one, as unfair as that might be. But I want you to think about this. This guy participated in 9 different Super Bowls. That, in and of itself, is insane. He was a native of Georgia. He attended the University of South Carolina as a quarterback, where he was actually the starter for 3 years. He ended his college career as the leading passer in Gamecock history. But then he would go undrafted by the NFL. He would end up signing with the Dallas Cowboys to play safety. However, Dallas needed some help on offense, so they actually flipped him over to halfback as a rookie. And Dan Reeves would lead the team in rushing with 757 yards. He scored 96 points. He actually finished second in receiving with nearly 600 yards. He would end up playing 8 seasons in the NFL. He lost a Super Bowl in 1970, but he won a Super Bowl in 1971. Then he had a knee injury. It cut his career short. So he became an assistant coach with the Cowboys under head coach Tom Landry, where he went to another 3 Super Bowls. He won Super Bowl 12. He did lose 2 of those. Then, of course, Reeves was a head coach in the NFL himself for 23 seasons. He was with the Denver Broncos from 1981 till 1992. He led them to 3 Super Bowls. Unfortunately, he lost them all. He went to the New York Giants from 1993 until 1996. And then he went to the Atlanta Falcons from 1997 until 2003. And he led them to yet another Super Bowl. Now, of course, we lost Dan Reeves on New Year's Day this year at the age of 77. And I'll be honest, that guy was old school. I watched every minute of his Broncos playing during my kind of formative years. It was a lot of boring football a lot of times. It was like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Every once in a while, he would throw in a trick play here or there. But I will say this about Dan Reeves. He won everywhere he went. No, he didn't win the Super Bowl as a head coach, although he had as a player and as assistant coach. But everywhere he went, he won. Even in Atlanta. I don't know if he gets enough credit for winning with the Atlanta Falcons. That really isn't done all that often. We also need to wish a happy birthday to a quarterback that was good, but not great. But he was really, really close to greatness a few different times. Sort of. You'll see what I mean. Because it was back on January 19th in 1954 that another quarterback was born. He grew up in the LA area and would attend Fullerton College before transferring to San Jose State. He became the starter. He led that San Jose team to a Pacific Coast Athletic Association title, which would later become the Big West Conference. He was then drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in the 10th round of the NFL draft, but he didn't make the cut. So he was signed by the San Francisco 49ers, and in 1978, he was the first quarterback to implement the Bill Walsh offensive system that would become the stuff of legend. All that West Coast stuff, that all came from Walsh. This guy was the first quarterback to run it at San Francisco. Unfortunately for our birthday boy, the Niners would draft Notre Dame quarterback Joe Montana to take over that offense. So, Steve DeBerg would be shipped off to Denver. he would play for head coach Dan Reeves, and he would have some moderate success for the Broncos. But then the Broncos made that trade to bring in John Elway. So DeBerg would go to Tampa. Hey, they always need a quarterback. That franchise was a mess in those days. But then Tampa drafted Miami quarterback Vinny Testaverde. So off to Kansas City went DeBerg. He would have some of his most productive seasons in Kansas City. He went 31-20-1 as a starter. But I mean, by now, Steve DeBerg was in his late 30s. He would play briefly for Tampa again. He'd play for the Dolphins. He'd play for the Falcons. And he would eventually call it a career. Hey, Steve DeBerg was good. I mean, think of like, I guess, a modern day Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was okay. He was good. But he wasn't great. But Steve DeBerg was about as close to great as you could get. Because he literally stood right next to greatness. Unfortunately, he was just holding a clipboard when he was standing next to greatness. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite quarterback that might have been good, but never quite great. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you need a little advice. Make sure to drop us a line. We would love to see what you have. Also, be sure you're stopping by dailydosports.com and checking out the new articles going up there every week. I am releasing a Daily Doses every Tuesday. Sometimes it has more of a local slant. Lately, it's been a lot of Denver Bronco talk, but it could be about anything. And then we have our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, who is posting a new article on Thursdays this last week. Talked a little bit about those Cincinnati Bengals moving into the playoffs. Some interesting stuff over at DailyDoseSports.com. Plus, you can always find a link to the YouTube video. You can find a link to the podcast. You can find some information that you can't find anywhere else. And you can find a link to that Daily Dose gear, because we know we're all still doing that online shopping. Be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up that Daily Dose gear. Got a couple of different designs over there. Got a number of items for you to choose from. You can get a sweatshirt. You can get a hoodie. You can get a t-shirt. You can pick it in whatever color you want. Just search Daily Dose when you get to tpublic.com. You will find exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be joined by a friend of the Dose to talk about a number of different things in sports. But we'll mostly be looking at those NFL playoffs. The wild card round is now in the books, and we're going to look forward to what might happen next. But before we get to our guest, let's look at one game this week that we were unable actually to talk about, which of course was in the NFL. You know, we wondered how Matthew Stafford would do in the NFL playoffs. Being in Detroit for 12 seasons, he didn't get there very often. And he didn't win a single game when he did. In fact, Matt Stafford's 323 career touchdown passes in the regular season were the most for any player without a single playoff victory. However, on Monday night, Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams got a playoff win. The Rams beat the Arizona Cardinals 34-11. And while Stafford didn't put up huge numbers, he was really, really efficient. Matt Stafford went 13 of 17 for 202 yards and two touchdowns. The Rams defense harassed Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray into two interceptions. And now the Los Angeles Rams will move on to face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, we will discuss how that game might go a little bit later in the show. But can I address a popular take that is being thrown around a lot in the world of sports talk right now? There are a number of people right now that are saying Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury and Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray are both terrible at their jobs and they should both be removed. I mean, Kingsbury should go back to, I don't know, below average college football. Kyler should go play baseball because he's clearly not an NFL quarterback. I hate to do this, but I need to give a little history lesson to those people. See, you can make the case that the Arizona Cardinals are the worst NFL franchise in history. Yes, they won some titles way, way back in the day, like Civil War days. And yes, they have been to a Super Bowl, which they lost. But remember, this Cardinals franchise has been in existence for over 100 years, going back to Chicago, going back to St. Louis. In their awful history, the Cardinals franchise has won just 40% of their games. That's not very good. In over 100 years, they have had just 11 postseason appearances. Yes, like I said, they won some titles back before the big wars or whatever. But the Cardinals are, and have pretty much always been, terrible. Remember, when Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray came on board, the Cardinals had just gone 3-13. In their first year together, the Cardinals went 5-10-1. Okay, it's a little better. Then they went 8-8 last year. Then this year, they went 11-6. Hey, kids, that's trending in a positive direction, isn't it? This franchise is terrible. But Kingsbury and Murray have actually made it less terrible. So let's go ahead and slow down on the, hey, they just need to burn it all down narrative. It doesn't really make any sense. The Cardinals franchise has been burnt for years. If anything, these guys are helping, not hurting. Stop the talk about Kyler needs to go play baseball and Kingsbury has been terrible. They haven't won anything of significance in Arizona, but they're at least competitive. And for years and years and years, that wasn't the case. I'd be pretty happy with the Cardinals right now if I were a Cardinal fan. Okay, coming back, we are going to be joined by one of my favorite guests to appear on the Dose. He is never short on opinions, and you won't have to guess what he's thinking. He's going to let you know. If you haven't heard him on the Dose before, you are going to be in for a wild ride. We will be right back with Raymond in Washington, D.C. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, a longtime friend of mine and a longtime friend of the Daily Dose, Raymond from DC, has been calling into the Daily Dose going clear back to the radio days. Raymond is a big time Buffalo Bills fan. And you just know, after that beatdown the Bills gave the New England Patriots in the NFL playoffs, you just know he's going to be fired up. Raymond, welcome back to the Daily Dose. How are you feeling today?
I'm really good. Good times. Good to see you, Clint. It's a great time to be a Buffalo Bill fan.
You know, the best part about having Raymond on is he could just talk about pretty much any sporting event. He follows a lot of things, as a lot of our guests do. So while I definitely want to get to the NFL, I want to let Raymond rant about his Buffalo Bills eventually. Might even have a few questions about how he became a Buffalo Bills fan. We have a lot of things to get to today. Raymond, we are going to get to the NFL in just a minute. But college basketball is rolling along right now. It is wide open. It is crazy. We saw number one Baylor get beat twice last week, both games at home. But we have some really good teams in college hoops this year. We've got Duke, we've got Gonzaga, UCLA, Arizona, Purdue. But I know back in that DC area, sometimes you see some teams on that East Coast, maybe some games that we don't always see. Is there anyone standing out to you in college hoops this year that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Well, definitely not in this area. Now, I see a lot of Maryland. Was watching them. But after they fired their coach, they had a lot of talent, but they suck. But the thing I've seen, though, is Duke. Duke looks pretty good, of course, once again. In this area, on the entire East Coast, Duke is really the only team out here. But it's worth a darn.
Are they going to be able to send Coach K out with the championship?
No. but they're not going to win it all. I think it's probably going to be Gonzaga or Baylor. I still think – I don't know what's happened these past two games with them, but I'm thinking one of those three, probably. Baylor, Duke, Gonzaga, my favorites.
Yeah, I could see that as well. And it's such a long season. And, you know, sometimes it's 18-year-old kids just sleeping one night and they just get knocked off and that kind of thing. Let's shift over to the NBA because the NBA season is right about the halfway point. There have been a few kind of, I guess, mild surprises. The Phoenix Suns are rolling. We thought they would be pretty good. Raymond, the Golden State Warriors seem to be back. They struggled last year. They didn't make the playoffs, but they look like they might be a problem now they get Klay Thompson back. I know the team is a little bit older. Can the Warriors actually contend for it all again?
Unfortunately, they are officially back. And this was even without Klay Thompson, their role. So having them back, but, you know, again, there's only one ball.
Right.
But I do expect Golden State, unfortunately, I don't know who's going to beat them.
That's the problem.
Yeah, who's going to score enough points? And then they actually defend a little bit, too. So it's coming out of the West. It's definitely coming out of the West. I can go Phoenix or Golden State. And who knows what the Nuggets might look back when Murray gets back. Who knows what because we're starting to play a little better too. We're not defending that well, but yeah.
Golden Let me ask you a question. You're back on the East Coast. How big of a believer are you in the Brooklyn Nets? I know Kevin Durant is now out for a few weeks with that knee injury, but could that team do anything? Do we trust James Harden to show up in the playoffs? Do we trust Kyrie Irving to just show up, just come to games even? Do we trust anything about the Brooklyn Nets?
No. They're just not cohesive. They're just not – they got the players. They got a lot of talent. You would think they'd be able to match like Golden State, you know, and talent-wise they do, but they're just not – they're not a team.
Yeah,
you know, Golden
right.
State plays really well together. I don't feel like Brooklyn, they don't play well. But because they're so talented – they once they're healthy, I expect them to come out of the East.
They should. They're better than everyone else over there, aren't they?
Yeah, they are better than them. But you know, Milwaukee's a team.
You're right.
Miami's a team. They play team ball. So those type of squads can give them problems. But I still expect Brooklyn to come out.
Yeah, I do too. Raymond, I want to switch gears quickly to college football. We just had the college football playoff. We had the national championship. The final game was Georgia versus Alabama. It's an all SEC final. Is that good for the sport? Do we need like some better teams in there from all over the country? Or is that just how college football is now? It's just SEC every year, all the time.
Well, that's how it is. We definitely need some diversity, some different squads in there. And actually, we had an opportunity to have a different squad in there, but they still insisted on keeping Alabama. You know, it's the pollers.
Yeah,
they keep voting Alabama. They could have put another team in there, but unfortunately, other teams are not getting a shot. Now, Baylor didn't get a chance. Cincinnati got in there. Baylor, Notre Dame, I ended up losing their bowl games. They probably would have lost anyhow, but because of they're not in the SEC. They weren't even given an opportunity. So, yeah, that's unfortunate.
Are you in favor of expanding that playoff? Would you rather see 8, 12? They're even talking about maybe 16 teams in. Are you in favor of that much expansion?
Yes. Give teams a shot. Give teams a shot to, you got to play, games should be decided on the field, and you have to give these teams a shot. They can't just some pollsters. Or writers or voters decide who goes in. You have to put more teams in there and give more teams a shot.
How many would you like to see?
I think 8 is, you know, it's football, you know, so it's pretty physical. You can't add that many more games. But I think 8 is a good number.
I do too. I like that number. I think if you get into 12 or 16, you're probably getting some 2 or even 3 lost teams, aren't you?
Yeah. And even with 8, this year we would have had 2 lost teams for sure.
Yeah. Are you a fan of this open transfer stuff that we're having in college sports now? Are we really trusting kids just to transfer whenever they want to?
Well, I think that that's what people say, that we're trusting kids to make their own decisions. Like, duh. Well, why wouldn't they be trusted? You know, this is America. They're 18. They can vote. They should be able to go where they want to go. It's all about the money. If they want to transfer, maybe we give a limit on how many times they can transfer.
Yeah.
But if coaches can go, everybody else can do it. The kids should be able to. Now, it's completely screwed things up.
Right.
But hey, that's the way it should be. They should be able to transfer.
I would like to see, like you said, I would like to see them bring some limitations in. You can't just transfer every year all the time. You have to have some sense about it. But the problem is you have some genuinely probably evil people pulling these kids. That's my concern. You've got some boosters. You've got some people promising money. You've got a lot of nonsense going on at that level. I would like them to put a few limits in there and let's help these kids, because this is all about the kids, right? We're trying to help kids.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, it's a re-recruiting. The recruiting, once you commit, probably your freshman year, the recruiting just starts all over again.
Right.
Of people trying to get you to come to their school. Yeah, it really opens it up.
Are we at a point now where we should just probably have the SEC and then everyone else is just playing like intramurals? Like, should we just give it up with college football nationwide?
I don't know how to make other conferences stronger. you know, you think that the Big Ten, you look, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, they look strong. But then, you know, they play an SEC team and it's like, my gosh, it's. And the same with, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big 12. I just don't know how you consistently make teams top to bottom as strong as the SEC. Even like Kentucky.
Right.
And Arkansas, like, they're athletes. When you look at it, it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's a different level.
Yeah.
Well, and you wonder, because in the SEC, you have like the strength and conditioning coach getting $1 million. Those other conferences are going to have to pony up, or they can forget it, I think, because that's how the SEC rolls.
Right. And ESPN and their television contracts, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of set in stone for a while, because they're going to continue to get all this money. And I don't know how maybe other conferences just in recruiting and can build really good teams. Somehow that's the only way to maybe flip the system, is you have to have a really, really good team somehow. Maybe a great quarterback in one of these smaller schools, and you end up beating the SEC squad a few years. You have a good squad, good program, and that can kind of flip, kind of upset the system, I guess.
No, you're exactly right. Some of you might not know this. A lot of people don't know this, but Raymond is a huge fan of football stadiums. In fact, he travels all over the country. He likes to visit different places, different stadiums. I'm going to ask you about the NFL in a minute, but what college football venue is your favorite that you've been to?
Gosh. Well, it would definitely be Neyland Stadium with Tennessee. Just so humongous. And,
yeah.
And just when you see the area, it's like, where are all these people coming from? They're coming just, it's just amazing that many people in orange.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm down off the top. Yeah. That's definitely favorite. Well, I've been to.
And right there on the river, is running right there. It's gorgeous. It's such a, like you said, it's almost kind of surreal. You're looking at the stadium going, they put this giant thing here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really amazing. So off the top of my head, yeah, that's definitely. I've got a lot of my list. A&M, I'd love to go there, and Alabama, just a couple. But yeah, great stadiums. SEC, there we go. Yeah,
Raymond, let's move over to that NFL, and I want to talk about what we saw during Wild Card Weekend. But some of our listeners might not be familiar with you. We only managed to get you to visit us like once or twice a year on the dose, so they might not know just how deep your passion for your team, the Buffalo Bills, runs. You've been a devout fan of the Bills since like the days of Kelly and Thomas and Reed and Bruce Smith. Who is your favorite Buffalo Bill of all time?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, it had to be Bruce.
That's what I thought.
Bruce Smith. Yeah. Bruce Smith is my favorite Buffalo Bill.
Why is that?
He was every game he was going to make a play. And if he wasn't making a play, he was causing the attention the other teams used to pay, the detail that they used to try to. It was amazing. Every game he was a problem. So, yeah, without a doubt, Bruce Smith.
Raymond, who sounds more white, you or Bruce Smith?
Well, I'm excited about and very optimistic about the future of the Buffalo Bills.
You know, I throw one in there. Just like you have done in college football, though, you've visited a number of NFL stadiums. Which one is your favorite? And I know you're going to say Buffalo because you love that. You love that crowd. But which stadiums are your favorite in the NFL?
Well, of course, Buffalo make my pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Other than that, Arrowhead.
Yeah.
That's a great place. I've seen the Bills beat them there. Many years ago, we beat them there. We beat them in Kansas City several times. But Arrowhead would be probably my second.
Okay. Okay. You know, you have endured some difficult years as a Bills fan. You've been through Super Bowl losses. You've been through the Music City Miracle. You've been through J.P. Lossman. It isn't always easy being a Bills fan. Raymond, have you ever intentionally tried to hurt yourself after like a particularly rough loss?
Well, I remember the Music City Miracle was a tough time for me.
What happened after that game? That was a weird play on a kickoff return. They throw the ball to the other side of the field. They return it for the touchdown. What did you do after that game?
Well, you know, I just I had had a I needed a drink afterwards, so I had a bottle of wine.
Okay, so you drank some wine.
Drank a bottle of wine, and then I just thought, you know, I just didn't want another day.
Right, right. So what did you do?
Well, I placed the hammer. I placed the hammer at the bottom of the stairs, and I was going to leap and jump on the hammer. One of my friends stopped me before I was able to do it. I just was so unhappy that day. So yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
You thought jumping on the hammer, you could end it all.
Yeah, but luckily I didn't, and I'm here, and I've endured. I'm here to see better times.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Raymond, before we get to the actual NFL playoff games themselves, there are now, right now, 7 franchises that are looking for a new head coach. I'm going to make you a head coach. You are the top candidate for a head coaching job, okay? Here are your choices. Where would you want to go? Chicago Bears, Houston Texans, Denver Broncos, Minnesota Vikings, Miami Dolphins, or Jacksonville Jaguars? Which job would you, a top head coach, take?
I actually kind of gave this a little thought. Me being the top candidate, I would be Brian Flores.
I would agree with that.
And so for me, I said I would want either Chicago or Jacksonville.
Interesting.
It was kind of a toss up between one of the two. If you twist my arm, I'm going to say Jacksonville.
Wow. That's really interesting. I don't disagree with you. Both of those places have good, we think, young quarterbacks. That's a huge step. So I could totally understand that. Chicago just seems like they're so hard on their quarterbacks. You just don't know, is Justin Fields really going to be able to overcome that history?
Yeah. And, you know, just thinking like for Brian Flores, I was just thinking that Chicago and that style, they already play like I would think he would be a great fit with the style that he would want to play, really aggressive in Chicago and the quarterback. I don't know how good Fields is, really. But that one or Jacksonville? The other jobs,
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I would agree with that. Well, and they all have a major problem, or they don't have a quarterback. I mean, you look at Denver. They've got ownership issues. They need a new head coach. They need a quarterback. Minnesota, they're going to need a new head coach. Kirk Cousins, that contract is a mess. Miami has that owner. That owner's an idiot.
Yeah, just kind of just shows up and, hey, well, what do you say? He said, all right, let's get rid of him. It's kind of, it's like, who is this dude?
Right.
But I'm grateful. I enjoy kicking Miami, swishing the fish every time we play them.
Sure.
So I know it's going to be set them back another couple of years. So that's great. But some of these jobs, you know, actually New York, you know, if I'm coach, maybe I want a new coordinator and a new guru. To Danny Dimes is not bad.
No, he's not. He's a big, strong kid. Maybe the Giants are the place.
Yeah. And, you know, New York. So maybe that might be a third. Maybe that might come third on my list is the Giant job.
Of those coaching candidates that are out there, and you talked about Brian Flores, who I would agree with you. I think he's the top candidate. There's a couple candidates out there that I don't think are getting that much talk. Is there anyone besides Flores that you look at and you say, that would be a candidate, that would be a guy that I would go get? I mean, Doug Peterson, Eric Bieniemy, Dan Quinn, like who's out there that you would be impressed with?
Well, of course, selfishly, I would hate to lose him, but Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
My offensive coordinator really has some a good mind. And him being under McDermott, I think he's gotten a real good structure.
Right.
And he's been under a lot of people. So I think he's a bright mind, and I think he'd make a good coach.
Really getting nervous who the Broncos are going to hire.
Probably a Kubiak. Kubiak Jr. or something. Something idiotic. I don't know. I don't think that Denver job is that great of a job.
I don't either. I would agree with you. It depends on who the owner is.
Yeah.
And who knows who that's going to be.
Right. Although they do have a few good pieces.
Yeah.
The Broncos do. They have a couple good young pieces. But they still need a quarterback.
Bad.
But it's a great franchise. Great, fan base.
Yeah.
You got Broncos here. Look, there's stuff behind you. You're
right.
Right. So.
Yeah, they just have so many questions that they have to have answered. That is not an A-plus job. There are a lot of things that you've got to correct. Okay, coming back, we still need to get over to those NFL playoffs. We saw some blowouts. We saw some bad referee calls. We are going to get to all of it with our guest Raymond when we get back. Okay, let's take a look at those NFL wildcard games that took place over the weekend. And first off, Raymond, we had expanded playoffs this year. We got an extra team from each conference getting in. I like the idea, but we got some bad games. Was that just a fluke, or are those lower seeds just not capable of hanging in there?
Those seven seeds, anything can happen. We've had a topsy-turvy year, all kinds of things that happen. So I don't have a problem with the expanded format. I just don't like – well – I was about to say I don't like just having the one having the only bye, but actually that's good too, because why reward the two? So actually that's probably a good thing also, that only reward the one with the bye. So I like the expanded. We have had a bad couple games, but I feel like every playoffs we have a couple bad. Yeah.
Well, and how close were we to getting like Chargers instead of Pittsburgh, and it would have been a very, very different feel to it if we had. So I think it was just kind of that fluky thing. The downside to the expanded playoffs for me is we get way worse officiating because there's just not enough good officials.
Yeah, the Philly game? The Cincinnati, the Raider game. Cincinnati Raider game. The whistle.
Yeah, the whistle. Let's talk about that, in fact, right now, because the Cincinnati Bengals won their first game since George Bush Sr. was in office. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders 26-19 in a game that the Raiders are probably feeling like the NFL is out to get them. There was that play that it was a mistake by the officials. If you missed it, in the third quarter, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, he rolls right to avoid pressure. He throws the ball from close to the sideline. But there was an inadvertent whistle by an official who thought he stepped out of bounds. He really wasn't even that close. The ball is caught by Tyler Board for a touchdown. It gave the Bengals a 20-6 lead. The play counted. The Raiders were mad. I get it. But did you think the Raiders got ripped off, or was that just a bad call? Did the Raiders just not make enough plays? What did you think about how that game went?
Well, definitely the Raiders did not make enough plays.
Yeah.
But I think in that situation, I was an official at one time on the field.
Yes, you
were. What happens, he accidentally blew his whistle. But the fact is, the guy really had just caught the ball. He was wide open, and he was going to catch the ball, and it was going to be a touchdown. Now, the mistake that was made was the official, he accidentally blew his whistle, but it really had no effect on the play. It really didn't.
I would agree with that.
I think the NFL already said that crew, that's going to be their last game, that whole crew.
Yeah.
That's a good decision. You punish the official, but it was going to be a touchdown either way. But I just think per rule, I think the rule is that whatever happens, if a whistle is blown and someone reacts to it, whatever happens, you're supposed to replay the down. So by rule, I guess they should have done it, but it really replayed. By rule, they should have replayed.
Right.
The down, but it was a touchdown.
Yeah, it was. And when you watch the play and you hear the whistle, like you said, the whistle itself did not affect the play. He was open. He caught it. The Raiders didn't have time to react to it anyway. So it was a touchdown. You know, I really thought watching the Bengals, I thought they were like a year or two away. Joe Burrow's pretty good, isn't he?
Joe Burrow is pretty good. He has some good weapons.
Yeah.
As well. He helps to make them, you know, good. He has some good weapons. They're pretty good. But I'm not convinced still. But, yeah, they're about a year away, and I like his swag. And Cincinnati's a good team.
I wish they had a better offensive line, because I think that's going to be his undoing eventually.
Right. And that's why I was suspect on them. I thought the Raiders were going to give them problems. Because
I did
thought, yeah, I thought they were going to be able to get after them a bit. But that's going to be a problem next week, because Tennessee is going to get after them.
That's going to be a really, really interesting game. Okay, in the second game of the weekend, Raymond, you've been waiting for it. The New England Patriots went to Buffalo to face the Bills. I know there were a lot of people taking the Patriots. They thought Bill Belichick is going to have something for Buffalo. He's going to coach them up. That rookie quarterback is special. Raymond, last week we did a draft on the dose here with a few friends. And guess who got picked dead last out of 14 teams drafting quarterbacks? Mac Jones. I realized Bill Belichick kind of pasted that team together and made them look better than they were. They had nothing for Buffalo. The Bills smacked the Patriots 47-17 in a game that honestly didn't even feel that close. The Bills offense was perfect on the day. On their drives for the day, they went touchdown, touchdown, end of half, touchdown, 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 end of game. No turnovers, no field goals. Really impressive win by the Buffalo Bills. Here's a question I have for you. Were you happier with your offense or your defense?
Offense. It's more expected.
Yeah.
I expected that from the defense. Well, I expected good things from the offense. I didn't expect to have a touchdown every drive.
Right.
You have to remember, though, last game against the Patriots, we didn't punt then either.
That's true.
So we just didn't convert. So we kicked a couple field goals, and so I was surprised that we scored a touchdown every single drive. That was the only surprise. The beat down, the way the defense manhandled them, that was not a surprise.
No, it wasn't a surprise to me. Hey, that snowy game with the cold and they only threw it three times, that was a fluke. That was a weird situation. And hey, all credit to Belichick, whatever. That was a fluke, though, and the Bills proved it this last week. They punched the Patriots in the mouth.
Yeah, it was smoke and mirrors the game where they were able to beat us, and it's the one weak spot that I think we might have is sometimes against the run, and it has to be a specific type of running back, i.e., Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And why I didn't want the Colts in the end so bad, because I didn't want to face Taylor.
Yeah.
But so those type of running backs sometimes can give us problems. So the only thing that we needed to do with the Patriots was stop the run. And we figured that out last game. So I expected a real beatdown, because I knew that we'd stop the run and they'd have to throw the ball. And he's not a passer.
No.
And even if you are a passer, you're going to have a problem passing in Buffalo against that defense.
That secondary is really good.
Yeah. The interception by Hyde, running. I mean, what range?
Right. Yeah.
The play that he made. So even with us losing Tre'Davious White midway through the season, you know, we really, as a defense, haven't lost a beat. Our pass defense is still number one in the league. And we consistently don't allow teams to throw on us. So I knew that the Patriots, well, once we stopped the run, they weren't going to be able to throw the ball on our defense.
Raymond, if Josh Allen plays at that level, I don't know if anybody can beat you.
That was his best game as a pro.
Yeah.
And it was scary.
Yeah, it was.
Like, wow. It's like, oh, he's back there. Oh, there's nowhere to throw. I'm gone. And it was quick. It was quick. You know, whenever he took out, I just loved the way whenever he decided to go, it was quick. It was no second. There was no, or maybe if he wanted to throw, he was real patient. It was a good mix of just being decisive. And then the arm talent and the accuracy that continues to get better and better. It's just amazing. He's an amazing athlete, man. We are, you know, Clint, I've gone so long.
Yes, you have.
Lospins and Todd Collins and
EJ Manuels and
There's only been like 10 quarterbacks. It's been 20 years, man. This, like, my quarterback is amazing.
Yes, he is.
Josh Allen is amazing. And I so deserve it. So, like, watching him against New England, man, it was just like, I had half a bottle of wine, really enjoyed myself tonight. It was just no yelling at the screen. I just kind of knew what was happening, that we would put a beat down on them. And, you know, also with this game, out of all the teams, this is one team that we could absolutely not lose this game.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to find a way.
Yeah, we could not. This game, we could absolutely not lose at home in the playoffs to the Patriots. Like, what? We could not lose this game.
Can I tell you what watching Josh Allen reminds me of? And you're already going to know the answer before I say it. It reminds me of watching a young John Elway. It is big, huge arm, so much athleticism. When he figures out how to stop making the dumb play and he just starts to, like you said, drop back, decision, and here's what I'm going to do. You're watching something special there.
Yeah. Yeah. So continue to keep him healthy. And, you know, he was asked about running around and taking big hits and just the NFL. You can't do that. His answer was, Josh said, well, I'm young and right now I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm feeling pretty good, I'm going to play how I play. And I just love that answer. I love his attitude. And, you know, he slides sometimes. So, yeah, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier about quarterback.
I don't blame you. You know what's funny? And this is just kind of off the subject. There is a really, really prevalent thinking right now in Denver that we could have had Josh Allen. What people don't realize, we would have broke Josh Allen too, because that's how jacked up this franchise is right now.
Yeah, you guys definitely had a run where you were just killing quarterbacks.
Yes, and that's what we would have done with him. He would have been better, but we would have broke him too, because that's just how jacked up we are. Moving to Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles were the lowest qualifying seed in the NFC, so they got to face the number two seed and defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And honestly, the Eagles looked like a seven seed. They turned it over three times. They committed too many penalties. The score was 31-0 before the Eagles even got on the board. Raymond, the Buccaneers looked better than I think people expected, but it was hard for me to tell because the Eagles looked so bad. Which was it? Was it good Buccaneers or bad Eagles?
Yeah, I think it was bad Eagles.
Yeah.
I think most playoff teams would have beat the Eagles the same way.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So they're the seventh seed. They probably maybe I'd rather see Minnesota there or the Saints.
The Saints would have been interesting, yeah.
The Saints definitely, because they give the Buccaneers all kind of fits.
For sure. They did not want to see the Saints.
No, they did not. So that's maybe the NFC's Chargers.
Yeah.
Whereas kind of the Steelers kind of snuck in there. Well, I guess the Eagles did sneak in there, but they just weren't that great of a team. They just got in.
When you look at Tom Brady right now, he's not capable of doing this again, is he?
He's a year younger than me.
You're right.
And it looks like he could go another 3 years.
Yeah, it does.
He looks good. He takes care of his body. And, you know, he's not getting hit. And if he's not getting hit, he just throws. He doesn't even take sacks. He just throws the ball. He's just like, hell with it. Yeah. He's beyond smart. And, you know, the way he plays, he can play a few more years. He looks great. Tampa's a problem.
If that defense gets healthy and they could get any kind of a running game, I think you're right. I think they could be a problem.
Yeah. If they can run the ball consistently a bit, they can, they definitely can be a problem. But also, though, they need to get healthy.
Yeah.
They need to get healthy.
They're banged up.
He needs more options.
Yep.
Losing Brown actually really hurts them.
Yeah, and because Godwin's already out.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Speaking of running the football, in the biggest upset of the weekend, it was the San Francisco 49ers beating the Dallas Cowboys 23-17, and it was in wild fashion. The Niners held Dallas to just 77 rushing yards. The Cowboys were called for 14 penalties for 89 yards. On the final play of the game, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott decided to scramble and run with just 14 seconds left and no timeouts. The clock ran out. Game over. Raymond, how are either of these coordinators, Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn, being considered for a coaching job right now?
Yeah. It's very interesting. Out of all the games, this is the one that I picked the 49ers to win this game.
I did too.
I just felt like the 49ers were really physical.
Yep.
And we're going to smack them.
Yes, and they did.
I didn't think that they would hold them to 79 yards rushing.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that the Cowboys were going to be able to run that. Yeah, I didn't. It's about what I saw happen.
I would agree.
Yeah, the game went about as expected. The 49ers are really physical, and they're going to give Green Bay problems.
Yes, they are.
The way they play, it's just a very physical, hit you in the mouth, solid, up front type defense. And the 49ers are a problem. And if Garoppolo can, you know, he's going to need to make some plays here and there. If he can do that consistently, watch out. Yeah.
And can he just not be an idiot?
Right. That's what it is. Don't be an idiot. But the 49ers, if they can play their style of football and you can't run the ball, and they can, they're a dark horse.
Should Mike McCarthy be fired? I know that sounds crazy.
Well, I know Jared's not happy.
Right.
which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the Cowboys have all the pieces, you know.
They have everything.
But what's new? The Cowboys always have all the pieces. So it's just hilarious that it happens again. That they're. I guess I got to give them another year, but they're not a physical. They're not. They run the ball. No. They have all the pieces, but they're not physical.
You're right. Does Tony Romo enjoy when they lose, by the way? Because I'm listening to him. He's up there giggling. He can't help himself. He's so happy. I just feel like Tony Romo loves it when they get beat.
I think he was quite entertained. He did sound entertained. It was entertaining. I think it was entertaining for everybody watching them
get
kicked. And then, you know, even in the end with the last, it's like, you know, they've really been getting their ass kicked all game.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this prayer. And then it's just like the awareness, like, Dak, what are you doing? Like, who authorized this? Like, what is this? This is foolishness. This is hilarious. I was giggling the entire time.
I was too. It made me think Kellen Moore called that play to get Mike McCarthy fired so he could get the head job.
No. And this nonsense of him being a head coach, and this, I guess it's going to happen.
I guess.
But, you know, if he gets a, if another hot shot, no experience head coach gets another job, like, i.e. Charger coach, that idiot. It's just like, yeah. So definitely entertaining. Go ahead.
You're dead. Hey, Aaron Rodgers to me is the MVP. And I will go on record. I would vote for Aaron Rodgers right now. But Raymond, Deebo Samuel might be the next guy in line.
He is a monster.
Isn't he?
I would so love to have him in that team.
Oh, so big and strong. And what can't he do?
Yeah, he's a running back. He's a running back, wide receiver. He blocks. He's physical. He brings the attitude. He's the perfect 49er for what the style of what they want to do, the way they use him. Yeah,
I love that kid. I would love to have him. It's also struck me that Jerry Jones paid over $1 billion for that amazing stadium, and the scoreboard is too low, and there's a hole in the roof that the sun comes in and blinds his own players.
I never noticed that. Yeah, that's true.
The punt hits the scoreboard.
That happens. That happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. It's happened more than once now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. In the final game on Sunday, the Kansas City Chiefs did what they kind of do every week. They started slow. They look sloppy. They turn the ball over, but then they turn it on. They crush the Pittsburgh Steelers 42-21. The Chiefs are crazy talented, but Raymond, they have some bad habits. They do some things. It's almost like they've just gotten so used to being able to win with their talent. They're getting away with some things that I don't know that they can keep getting away with.
Yeah. Mahomes has some Josh Allen moments, yep. You know, he has those goofy moments sometimes. And then also, Andy Reid has some cutesy moments.
You're right.
Where they just try to do just a little too much. Like, why? It's just too extra. Like, they're outthinking themselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And also on defense, they do some cutesy stuff too.
Yep.
Where they outthink themselves. So maybe they've just gotten so good, and sometimes they just, you know, they just did the Chiefs get too cute sometimes.
Well, and it's funny because I watch Patrick Mahomes, and like you said, sometimes he makes a play that is a simple play more complicated. And they're like, why is he doing that? And I'm like, because he learned it from watching Andy Reid. He watched him. Yeah. That's where he got it.
Yeah. It's some, you know, it's like basketball. It's some hot dogging. They do hot dogging in the Chiefs, and that's part of their problem. And it's, you know, it's probably part of why the turnovers and they're a little loose with the ball sometimes because it's just a little too cute. So, you know, a physical team can be problematic for them too.
Yep. I would agree with that 100%. All right. Now we can't cover the Rams Cardinals game because that is going to take place tonight. That's fine. We'll kind of BS our way through this, but looking forward to next week, we've got Cincinnati going to Tennessee. I think Cincinnati can have a little success, but Tennessee, like you talked about, is a physical football team. Cincinnati's going to have their hands full next week.
Yeah, and we're expecting Derrick Henry back.
Oh, that's going to be a problem.
I don't believe they played this season. I expect Cincinnati to have really big problems. Tennessee's going to get after them, and Cincinnati's not going to score more than 20 points. They might get their ass kicked.
Yeah, that's very possible. I could see Tennessee putting this away, especially having the week off to get healthy. Getting Derrick Henry back is going to be a huge lift. I could see this being a blowout. Next game up, San Francisco goes to Green Bay. Like we talked about, San Francisco can't run the ball on Green Bay too, can they?
Yeah. They can.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the football.
Yes, he is. Well,
right. And I think they're going to slow him down, but they're not going to stop Aaron Rodgers, I don't think. So I just think they just don't have quite enough offense, I don't think. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball that well and control. I don't think. So I just think that it's just still too much offense from Green Bay.
You got Green Bay advancing?
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we will have the winner, Arizona, or the Rams going to Tampa. Do you like either one of those teams going to Tampa to face Tom Brady?
I really think this is going to be like, well, tonight's going to be like a slobber fest.
Yeah.
These teams are going to beat the crap out of each other.
Agreed.
So whoever wins next week is going to lose.
Whoever wins, right, because you're going to get beat up?
Yeah. They're going to lay it out tonight, and whoever wins this game is going to lose next week.
Okay, and I'm right there with you. Now we get to the big one. Kansas City is who they are. Raymond, if Buffalo does not make those just bonehead mistakes, Kansas City is going to have their hands full. I've got the Bills going into KC and getting a win.
Yeah, we don't turn them all over.
Nope.
Kansas City doesn't have the type of running attack that's going to give us problems. So as long as we go in there and handle the run, don't turn the ball over, and Hill, just control Hill.
Control Hill.
That's it.
Travis Kelce isn't what he used to be either.
He isn't what he used to be. He's still a problem.
Still good.
I don't. He's had a big game. He's had big games against us, but I just don't. I don't fear him.
No, not like we used to. Not at all.
Yeah, I don't fear him.
Josh Allen has to come out and play a good mistake-free football game, and if so, I like Buffalo going to Kansas City.
Yeah, and I like our new little running game that we're Singletary the ball. I've always liked Singletary, so giving him the ball, it's really opened up our offense more. And now we've gotten healthy. Everybody's back. Emmanuel Sanders, Gabriel Davis, Beasley. Now everybody's healthy. Yeah, we're really humming. The offensive line is really playing well.
Yeah, they are.
He's had all day to throw. The past few weeks, he has. So things are looking good. We're playing our best football right now.
That's where you want to be. Looking forward now. Last week, we dissected the playoffs. We broke down who we think is going to go to the Super Bowl. Looking forward now for you, who do you have advancing out of the NFC? If it came down to Green Bay versus Tampa, like we think it could, who would you have going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC?
Yeah, I think Green Bay. I would take Green Bay. Them being at home, you know, of course, it won't affect Tom. Tom can play anywhere. But sure. I just think if they were to go up there, with the quarterbacks canceling each other out, I think Green Bay's better. I think Green Bay's just has a better team. They play better together, and I would take Green Bay to beat Tampa.
Well, and I took Tampa, but here's my concern about taking Tampa. I took Tampa back in August. My concern right now is it seems like Green Bay is getting healthy. Tampa Bay still has a lot of people out. That would be my biggest concern.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, in taking Green Bay, I mean, you know, you're betting against Tom Brady.
Right.
Which, you know,
hasn't gone well.
Yeah. So it could very well just easily be Tom Brady in the Super Bowl again. But he would have to, you know, this receiver corps, because they're not getting healthy. I mean, there's no one else.
No, you're right. That's all they have.
Yeah. So these other players are going to have to step up, and he's going to have to mold them. Because I've seen in the last game, I saw some, miscommunications with wide receiver. Yeah. He's throwing this way. They're going that way. It was a lot of that going on. And it was I seen Tampa the prior week. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
So he's having a lot of that going on with these new wide receivers that haven't played as much. So Tampa's going to have to step up because he's playing with, you know, he still has Evans and he has Gronk, but the other people they're new.
Yep.
They're stepping up. They're yeah.
Okay, let's look at the AFC side. We have it looking like it's going to be Buffalo going to Tennessee. If that is the case, Raymond, who's going to the Super Bowl?
Well, of course, it'd be us. It'd be the Buffalo Bills. But this would be our weakness in that this is the type of running back that gives us problems. And he gave us problems last time. He gave us big problems last time we played them.
Yeah.
But in that game, we should have beat them. You know, we turned the ball over against Tennessee.
Can I throw out a theory to you?
Yeah.
Was the Patriot game, that Monday night game, they passed the ball three times. Was that exactly what you guys needed to eventually beat Tennessee on the road?
Oh, yeah. You know, to what I tell you, that us off.
It should have. Just
as a fan, and I don't know if you've seen the interview with Michael Hyde and Jordan Poyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The home team was just off. McDermott and it was just so irritating, with Belichick, he was gloating and laughing, and it was just as a whole organization, just the really, just irritants and the Patriots. So yeah, I think that definitely prepared us to really get after the run.
Yep.
And it's since then, you know, these teams trying to run on us, you know, the Jets were supposed to, I mean, I know the Jets are terrible, but they have been running the ball well these past few weeks. And, the way we attack the run against them and Atlanta, you know, they do all these little cute things with Patterson, and, you know, Atlanta runs the ball okay. They were trying to do these things, you know, the way we attack the run against them, and then playing the Patriots these two times, playing them again, and the way we attack the run, stop the run. You know, if you can't run the ball against us, you know, good luck throwing against us.
Right.
We welcome that. We welcome, because we want to play this nickel as our base. We play a nickel as our, that's why we can't play stop the damn run, because we're playing a nickel all the damn time. But we want you to throw against us, because that pass defense is we're the best in the league, and it's serious. And when we beat you, we beat the shit out of you. We don't have close games where we kind of beat you. No, the Bills pound you out. When we beat you, we beat you.
Raymond, you've got Buffalo versus Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
Yes, yes.
Back in August, I picked Buffalo versus Tampa in the Super Bowl. I'm going to stick with that pick because I've been on it too long now. I just got to ride with it. I think either way, it would be a highly entertaining Super Bowl. We are going to see what these next round of games bring us. But I want to tell you, because I don't even have to ask you your Super Bowl pick. I already know who you're going to pick for the Super Bowl. But how nervous would you be if Buffalo actually gets there?
Well, I was pretty nervous you just get worked up for the game, but yes
you do.
I would be pretty, I'm expecting to be there, and I'd be nervous, but I'd be expecting a win.
Okay. Well, I picked you to win, so we're going to see how that all goes. But I want to thank you for coming in today, making some time for the Daily Dose, stopping by. We always enjoy your visits. We always enjoy your insight. We always enjoy your opinions. You bring it every single time we have you on. Thank you for stopping by and sharing your thoughts on the NFL playoffs. We're going to be watching. We're going to be looking for your Buffalo Bills.
Well, thank you. You made a good choice. I expect the Bills to continue. We just played the best game of the season. We're humming. And happy Martin Luther King Day. Go, yes. Bill.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be following these NFL playoffs very closely, and we will know who is going to those NFL championship games. Plus, the NBA is rolling. College hoops is getting interesting. There is always something to keep up on in sports, so be sure that you check out The Dose next week, and be sure that you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Raymond from Washington, D.C., for stopping by The Daily Dose and for talking sports with us. We always enjoy your visits. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel. Thank you for going over and checking out all the new things going on over at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing this show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
If another hotshot, no experience head coach gets another job, like, i.e. Charger coach, that idiot,